Okay. We are marveling at our salvation. We've been in this series for a year now, better than a year now, where we're talking about all of the benefits that come with our salvation. Just like any good job might come with benefits, you know, like not at the woodshed, but maybe where you work. You know, it might come with insurance, or it might come with paid vacation, or it might come with whatever, you know, and so that's an awesome thing. So you want to take advantage of the things like, you know, matching 401k. You know, if they're giving you 3% on your 401k match, then you should do that, right? That's free money, 3% free money. That's awesome. You know, a lot of people aren't just handing out free money. But our salvation comes with so much more than just 3% matching, right? It comes with all of these awesome benefits that we have spent a year talking about. And what dawned on me this week, because, you know, John 10:10 is true. John 10:10 says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full, right? Now, what never dawned on me until this week is that life is just a breath. Here, let me see. I bet I can find that scripture real quick. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. That's James 4:14. And so what I think is awesome is that the Lord has given us this, all of these benefits, right, in such a short time. Right, like our lives are just this vapor, just this hint, just this very quick blip on a scale. These are our lives, while they feel like 80 years to us, 80 years is nothing compared to how long Gene's been alive, but it's also nothing compared to like eternity. When you think about eternity, eternity is long. It goes on and on and on and on and on forever, right? And so 80 years, you know, gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Our lives are but a breath. And what's so awesome about that is that, because Jesus could have just come and give us salvation. He could have done that. But he wanted to give us life to the full. So he even cares about this vapor time. He could have just given you salvation, your ticket to heaven, and then the rest of your life been crummy. He could have done that. He didn't have to give us hope and encouragement and peace and joy. He didn't have to give us those things. But, you know, he could have just given us salvation, because your life is so short. It's so little, right? But he gave us, like, life to the full, even for this short period of time that we're here. I think that's for two reasons. One, because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. And two, because the more we're satisfied in him, the more we'll brag on him. That's what all of this morning is. This whole talk is me bragging on him, to encourage you to go out and brag on him to other people. That's what this is. John, like, he gave us, it's like this. It's like he gave us a million quarters for an arcade that we get to spend 30 minutes in. And that's not fair, is it? That's so much benefit. It's just a million quarters. You can play any game, but you got 30 minutes. So you got to play fast, right? So that's our lives. He's given us a million quarters worth of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all of the benefits of salvation. He's given us a million quarters of that, but we have such a very little time to play it. So take advantage while you can. Now is the time, because you're alive and kicking, at least for today. You may not be tomorrow. So the benefit that we're talking about today is the ability to avoid sin. Okay? You don't have to sin. Right? Remember I told you I got mixed up in some a couple weeks ago, right? Like, you don't have to do that. God is always going to give you a way out. You don't have to sin. You don't have to anxiety. You don't have to, like, sometimes, you know, we feel like, oh, well, I had to do this or that. No, you didn't have to. You didn't have to. The Lord will always give you a way out. And we all are guilty of this, every one of us. Our first scripture here is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For everyone, who is everyone? Everyone. Yep, all billions of us or whatever. You know, I saw this the other day, that India has now surpassed China in population. That's crazy. There's a billion people living in India. Okay, anyway, so there's like, that has nothing to do with the sermon. So there's like 9 or so billion of us alive today. How many billions have been alive over the course of the history of the earth? I have no idea, but it's billions and billions. Every one of the billions of us have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. We are all guilty. We have all done it. Now, let me tell you a story about when I was at a baseball game. I was in my early 20s, and the group I was with went to a baseball game. We were the Texas Rangers, I believe, and I don't even remember. I know we were in Arlington, but I don't even remember who they were playing. And so we, you know, our tickets, because we bought group tickets. There was like, I don't know, 300 or 400 of us or whatever. We're up in the third deck, right? So me and my buddy were like, let's sneak down to the bottom, and we did. Is that a stand? I don't know. I just now thought of that. Probably. I don't know. Sorry, Lord. Anyway, we sat behind this lady, me and the guy were matching shirts because we were all wearing matching shirts that day. And she asked about us and this lady, and we started talking to her about Jesus, right? And what we were trying to do was get her to Romans 3:23, that everybody has sinned. And so we started talking to her about sin. But this woman had never sinned. And she was not American. She was Scandinavian, maybe Iceland or something like that. I mean, I forget now. It's been 25 years ago or something like that. But, you know, and so we were like, so your mama said you can't have a cookie. You never stole a cookie. You never, and nothing we could come up with she had ever been guilty of. No bad attitudes or anything. Now, these many years later, boy, I wish I could have a crack at that again. But we were stumped. We had listed out all the sins we could think of. She had never committed any of them. And so she went on about her life. And I pray for her occasionally, and more this week since I knew I was going to tell that story, that I hope that she found the Lord. I hope she found the Lord. I really do. You can pray for her too. I have no idea what her name was, but the Lord knows her. Anyway, the point is, we're all guilty. Sin is bad. Sin is bad. Sin is anything that breaks God's law, anything. So our responsibility, as we learned for several weeks, is love. And we learned how heavy love is. Love is a heavy thing. It is big and awesome and hard to do, right? Anytime you escape love and head towards selfishness, that's sin. Ooh, that's hard. That's hard, right? But sin is bad. And it's bad in a lot of ways. Okay, sin is bad physically. If, let's just say, so being drunk is a sin. That's in the Bible. Being drunk kills brain cells. It's hard on you. Sin is hard on your physical body. Sin is hard on your physical body. Or you step out on your wife or have premarital sex or whatever it is, and you wind up with some sort of disease. These are consequences of your sin. Physical pain because of our sin. Sin is bad. Sin is bad for you physically. Sin is bad for you emotionally. Sin causes mental anguish. Trust me, it causes mental anguish. Because you feel guilty and shame. And here's the thing. Please, please understand this. If you're in Christ, that shame, that guilt is not coming from the Lord. It's probably coming from yourself or from the devil himself or whatever, however that works, however the demon and the devil's work. Like the shame that comes piling on after your sin, that is the devil trying to make you feel horrible. That is yourself trying to make you feel horrible and separated from God. That's not the way that it works, but it causes mental anguish and shame. It's hard on our emotions when we sin. When we step out of love and we cause physical and emotional pain to others, to those that we live with, absolutely, it does. Sin is bad. Sin is bad for others. You get drunk and you get in a car and you car crash and kill somebody. I remember a sermon series from my mid-20s or whatever this pastor did, that just how much is your sin going to cost me anyway, right? Your selfishness hurts other people. It's not just you. Your selfishness doesn't just hurt you. It hurts people around you. That's hard to hear, but it's true. your selfishness can also, now, you're not going to send somebody to hell. That's not, like, you're not, you don't have that much responsibility. But your sinfulness, your selfishness can keep somebody from learning about Jesus. Absolutely it can. Here's a scripture. James 4:17. Remember, is it a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it? So we have sins of commission and sins of omission, right? So sins of omission, you walk up and slap somebody in the face. Sins of omission is God asks you to apologize and you don't. God is talking to you all the time. He's always wanting something from you, right? All the time. Go and witness to that person. Well, Lord, I'm in a hurry right now. I really can't do that right now. And we just sort of push that off. Or, Lord, I don't even know them. What would they say? Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. Like I had told you a few times about, the Lord had asked me to break up with my girlfriend when I was in my teens. It was those 2 weeks that I decided I wasn't going to do it. Sin of omission. I was just leaving it out. I wasn't doing what he asked me to do. And so if God asks you to witness to somebody and you're like, nah, I'm not going to do that right now, then sin. So your sin is not just hard on you, it's hard on others. Now that person may have to wait another 2 weeks, another 10 days, another 2 years to hear about the gospel because we were too selfish to do it, because we were too sinful to do it. Man, that's hard to hear, but it's true. Our sin is hard on us. Our sin is hard on us physically, emotionally. It's hard on others. It's hard on us spiritually speaking. So, here's the way that I picture our sin. I'm gonna tear apart a pew. This is not a pew. It's a chair. So here's kind of the way I picture the way sin works, right? In my relationship with God, I'm here, right? I'm here on this side of this chair, and God is where He always is. He's right there. This chair will represent my sin. Now, I'm going to be some selfish this week, and I'm going to not care about others the next week, and we got to tear this down this morning anyway, so I'm just helping us out. So we pile up our sins, and we pile up our sins, and we build this wall between ourselves and God, and He gets a little further and further away. And so now, like, if He wants to talk to me, he's got to talk over this pile of chairs. Let's get a couple more here. I'll get it up taller. I want you to see this. So now, God hasn't moved, right? I haven't moved either. He still loves me, but I can't talk to Him. He's on the other side of this chair. I can't talk to Him. This is what sin is like in our relationship. God's not going anywhere. You've just built a wall between you and Him. Now I'm all sweating from moving chairs. But I think the way we really need to live is repentant, right? I think the way to remove this stuff is to recognize that you're a sinner, talk to God about it, and say, and you're forgiven, right? Please don't hear me say that you're not forgiven here. You're forgiven the whole time, everywhere, all of this. You're still going to heaven. You're still forgiven, even with your pile of sins, your brick wall, you've decommissioned your faith or whatever they're calling it these days, and you're like, you've built this brick wall in front of you, and you want nothing to do with Him. You're still forgiven for all of that. You're just hidden behind this wall. And so if God wants to say something to you, He can't, because you're behind this wall. So then you repent a little bit, and you repent a little bit, and you repent a little bit, until finally, you know, you've torn your wall down, at least some. So now, at least if the Lord wants to talk to me, He doesn't have to talk through this wall of chairs. I can at least hear His voice if He's speaking to me. Now, that was just out of spite. Now, here, come here. Now, here's where I really want to be with the Lord, okay, where there's absolutely nothing between us, okay? Now, if you're all repented up and you're feeling like your relationship with God is awesome, hey, I'm sorry, Emily, here. Look, here, give me a hug, like a real one. Now, if the Lord wants something from me, then all he's got to do is whisper, right? If she wants to talk to me, that's good, thank you. Then all she's got to do is whisper. That's all he's got to do is whisper. If you're close like that, if you don't have this pile of sin in between you and the Lord, it's a wonderful thing. Even with the chairs, you know, even with a couple of chairs there, unrepentant sin, things that you won't stop doing or whatever, you can at least still hear some of his voice. When you get behind the wall, the only way for him to hear you or for you to hear him is for him to shout. And I, like, that's not the goal here. Our goal is to live repentant. Our goal is to live sinless, right? Like, our goal is to live in an embrace with God so that if he needs something from us, all he's got to do is whisper. And we, yes, Lord, and move that direction. And he gives us an out. He gives us an out. I want to, let's see. I'm going to go to Galatians. I think this is a little out of order. Galatians, look at this. Galatians 5:22 is where we find that list of the fruits of the Spirit. So if you're following the Lord, then you get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're following, so this is verse 19, 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's go back to James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think that the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. When we sin, because, you know, you're a Christian, right? Or at least I hope you are. When we sin, you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart. And so now you're taking the Lord to places he doesn't want to go. The Lord doesn't want to go to the strip club. The Lord doesn't want to watch pornography with you. The Lord doesn't want to watch your attitude, your selfishness. The Lord doesn't want to be a part of that. And yet we do that to him all the time. We take him through these things. And so the Bible says that we should not be friends. We watch him. We make him watch all sorts of TV he would never watch. That's who we are. And if we're here it is. So sin is bad. Sin is really bad. And if you're comfortable in it, then maybe you ain't okay. Now, I never want to be the preacher who makes people doubt their salvation. I don't want to be that guy. I want you to be confident in who you are in Jesus Christ. I want you to be confident that you know Jesus fully inside and out. But if you're comfortable in your, what was that, Galatians? If you're comfortable in your idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild party, if you're comfortable in these things, then maybe you don't know the Lord. And that's something you need to get fixed now. Because it's better. I promise you, it's better on this side. Let's see. This is 1 John 3:4. Anyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. There is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Jesus came to take away your sin. And so let it be gone. Like, let your sin be gone and then stop sinning altogether. Now, I know, like, I don't know if perfection is actually available to us. I don't know if we as humans can achieve that, but I know we can get a lot closer than we are. There's always another level that you can reach for. There's always another level, another depth that you could get to. And so please, don't misunderstand me. There's a way out of your sin. I know a lot of us are like, no, but you don't understand. My wife did this, and so and she doesn't love me like this other girl does, or my husband doesn't understand me the way that she does, or my, you know, whatever it is, or you don't understand, this TV show is really funny. Yeah, I do get it, because I'm a sinner too. I do understand. But it doesn't make any difference. Your excuses don't matter. Our excuses don't matter. Our reason for sinning doesn't make any difference. We just got to stop. And the Lord gives us a way out. This is 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Now, you know that God will never give you more than you can handle, like people say that, right? I think that's not in the Bible, but this is. God won't, you won't be tempted more than you can be held accountable for. God will always give you a way out. Oh, but you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I understand. There's always a way out of your sin. So let's find the way. This is James chapter 4. We're all over James chapter 4 this morning. Verse 7. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Now, lots of people love the scripture. They love to say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people want to, they love that, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Yes, that's true. But that's leaving out the first part of this scripture, which is, humble yourself before God. You want to know how I got mixed up in sin a couple weeks ago? How I got mixed up into, like, complaining and whining about my life this week? It was because I stopped delighting myself in the Lord. That's how. And it's real gentle and it's real slow. I mean, you don't just wake up and murder somebody, right? No. It starts with, I'm just not going to pray today. And it, like, I don't have time to pray today. And then it moves and it's slower and slower and slower and slower until you're so far away from where you originally started. It's a slow burn. But we have to maintain our humbleness before God. So humble yourselves before God. You're trying to kick that addiction or whatever it is, that sin that you're constantly fighting, right? To stop white knuckling it. I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm just not gonna fail like that anymore. Stop white knuckling it and start delighting yourself in the Lord. Start giving yourself away to him always, right? If you're constantly delighted in the Lord, then you're not going to be thinking about the sin that's bothering you, right? I had a teacher in college, and I don't know if I 100% agree with this, but he said that you can't be tempted about something you refuse to think about. I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but I can at least ride with this sentiment. If you refuse to think about, how about this? If you're a drunk, right? You're somebody who's an alcoholic or whatever. If you refuse to think about the things that drive you to drinking, you refuse to think about the emotional pain that you experience, the frustration, the whatever it is, the sadness, the depression. If you refuse to think about those things and constantly be thinking about the Lord, always be thinking about his goodness and delighting yourself in him, then that stuff is gonna fade away. It is. You're not going to look at pornography if you're constantly delighted in the Lord. You're not going to be thinking about what it would be like to be with somebody else if you're constantly delighted in the Lord. If it's not like you're pushing those things away. It's you're pulling yourself towards him, and it's a different mindset. God, I want to be your guy. I always want to be your guy. Let me draw closer and closer and closer to you. And these things, it's like they fade away. It's not this fight to keep yourself clean. It's this fight to keep yourself in his presence. Listen to this. Listen to this quote from Charles Spurgeon. If I hate sin because of the punishment, I have not repented of sin. I merely regret that God is just. I don't want to live like that, right? I want to live in a way where I'm repented before the Lord because I love the Lord and I hate my own sin. That's how I want to be. Now, this has been a hard sermon. I've laid a lot on us, okay? So I want to paint all of that, all of what we've, because you're going to sin, right? Today, you're going to sin. You're going to fail. You're going to mess it up, right? So please know, there's grace for you. There's grace for you. Like that last week or whatever, when I got mixed up in that sin, like the Lord allowed me into his throne room. The Bible says I can boldly come into his throne room. Listen to this, Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for you. And that's wonderful. That's what it means, that despite the fact that we do sometimes fail, that God always wants us back. He always wants you to come back. There's no, he's not hammering down on you. You're the worst. You're terrible. You don't deserve me. We don't deserve him. We are the worst and we are terrible, but that's not coming from him. Nothing but love is coming from him, regardless of your behavior. And that's such good news, because we're going to fail if you're in Jesus. If you are not in Jesus, because this says those... Now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you don't belong to him, there is condemnation for you. And it is marching down like a freight train. And you want to get out of the way of it. It is called hell. That condemnation is called hell. And it will take you. And I don't want that for you. I really, really don't. I want you to know his grace, because the moment that you start to experience, you guys can start moving. The moment that you start to experience his love, like for that first, I remember the moment of my salvation. I remember it as clear as day. I remember feeling different, like something had changed inside of me. And if you don't have a moment where you know that God's love is awesome and incredible, if you don't have that moment, then man, get it. Get it. He's too good to just ignore, right? Your sin is fun. It certainly is. Your sin is fun. It's pleasurable. It's enjoyable. All of those things. It absolutely is. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little song, and I'm just going to give you a chance to respond. And you guys know I don't do this every week. But I felt like, after a sermon like this, I had to give you the chance to get to know Jesus if you don't know him. And so I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to invite you to come up here. If you want to come up here and repent of your sin, to knock these chairs down, to stack more in front of Emily, then great, let's do that. If you want to get to know him for the first time, then let's do that too. And I know that the Holy Spirit is in this room. I know you can feel him. I know he cares about you. So don't sit there in your selfishness. Don't sit there. Let go and let him do what he wants to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this morning I pray that we respond to you. And I don't care how. I don't care if it's if we jump up and down, if we come up front, if we stay in our seat. I don't care about that, Father. I just want people to respond to you. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, this morning to humble ourselves before you and to resist temptation and to fall in love with you. God, you're so good.